This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter. Dan Dickow's with me. He's the host of the ISO with Dan Dickow on the Believe Podcast Network. He's SB Live's preeminent basketball mind. We're also joined by senior reporter with SB Live, the prodigal son of Tacoma, your pal and mine, Todd Millis. Gents, thank you for turning off 538, putting the cable news on mute. As we record this, we don't have a president yet, although that could change by the time you're listening. Nevertheless, how are we doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I've been following some of the news that you guys have been putting on our Washington website in regards to what we're going to be chatting about here. And we're getting closer. That's all I can say. Just like we're getting closer to finding out who will be the next president, we're getting closer to having some guidance on the state of Washington and return to sports.
Yeah, Dan, in a sort of a zigzagging sort of way. Nothing can be a straight line, man. I feel like we're on a 20-mile hike in Mount Rainier National Park to try and get to an endpoint here. But you're right. We are getting closer, and I know it's difficult for – I can't imagine what it's like for student-athletes and coaches, because it's hard for me. I mean, we're going on almost – what is it now? 9 months on no live stuff in Washington. And it's hard. It's hard. I can't even imagine for the guys that are putting it on, you know?
Well, for you guys who go to events nearly every night during fall and winter in particular, and then a lot of events in the springtime, you know, you guys, I've been so impressed, and hopefully our readers as well as our listeners have been impressed as well about the creativity that you guys have used to keep high school sports in the state relevant and finding unique angles for stories, topics to cover. Because I know for myself with the ISO, coming up with great guests is a challenge. And for you guys with coming up with the amount of topics and angles of stories that you guys have had, you know, I want to commend you two, because it's been really impressive to see the work that you guys have done. And hopefully, you know, our viewership and our listeners recognize the same and know that once games start, you guys are going to be covering it to an A-plus level, and it's going to be fun to see.
Your check is in the mail, Dan. I appreciate that. But, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, As we prepared for this podcast, as we've covered some of the news that's come out of the WIA this week, Todd and I have been talking to basketball coaches on the boys and girls side at the high school level across the state of Washington to prepare next week for some, you know, way too early basketball statewide content. So we're really excited about some of the things that are in the works that, you know, should get, you know, teams and players highlighted and start to paint a picture of the statewide landscape, even though as we try to answer that question, when the heck are we going to play? And that picture got maybe a little bit more clear this week, although not much. On Monday night, the WIAA Executive Board approved the timetable to determine if and when high school sports are going to return. Under state guidelines released early October, those state guidelines created a framework that requires sports based on their risk level. They have to meet a certain percentage positive case rate and a positive cases per 100,000 threshold in their individual counties to be eligible to play. Current trends suggest that high-risk sports like basketball and wrestling, which are falling that season two category that's set to start practice in late December. Those are not on track to start. And the board says in order to have a season, 50% of teams within a region, within a classification, and within a sport have to be eligible under their county's guidelines in order to play. Now, we've talked in the past about you know, the potential for having a regional championships. That's been something discussed for months by the WIAA. They made that solidified. If sports return in 2021, there's going to be regional championships, no state championships. And there were just you know, some changes and a little bit more of a framework that gives schools an idea of where they need to be outside of just looking at the numbers and the COVID dashboard that's on the state's website. So what I ask you guys is, and if you want to read more about the specifics of what the WI Exec Board came out with this week, that's you can read up a write-up on scorebooklive.com/Washington, as well as, and we'll get more to this, but I spoke to Mick Hoffman, the executive director of the WIA, on Tuesday, I believe it was, Tuesday morning, and he took about his sharpest tone on the record, advocating for the safe return of high school sports. He feels that the WIA can do this. He feels that schools can do this and need to be given the opportunity. That entire Q&A, we'll reference it, I'm sure, in the rest of this podcast, but that's on the website as well. I highly recommend you read that. But based on this week's news, what do you guys see, understanding that the worst case scenario is sports continue to be sidelined? What do you guys see as the best case scenario for the return of high school sports? What's the best case scenario at this point if the state guidelines stay the same?
Well, I'll take this. Best case scenario is that basketball starts in season three with football. Is that viable? Yeah, I think there has to be some more adjustments. Again, we made reference to this a few podcasts ago, you know, that when the state came down with their new criteria, their mandates, that I just sort of felt like it needed to be more of a sliding scale based on trends. And I know the WIA is going to release its data on 50%, how many schools, the percentages in each county are going to be eligible to come back in December. I suspect that number is going to be very, very, very low. But with what's going on, and I think at this point we can safely say, you know, there was a big rash of poo-poo toward the WIA in the summer and early fall. That the WIA wasn't doing enough, and they weren't fighting for kids, and la-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-da. I think we can kind of put that to rest now. I think if you look at this objectively, Mick and the WIA, they're looking at the right things. They're fighting for the right things. They're saying the right things. But they can only go as fast as other forces will allow them. So if we can get a little cooperation at the state level, I think the WIA has some contingency plans that we can, sometime in season three, we can start up basketball. Now, I know it's gonna conflict with football, and student athletes are going to have to make decisions. But right now, based on what the trends are with COVID cases around the country, and with what we know definitively with what the state is mandating, best case scenario right now, I think season three for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to play the projection game, but, you know, what to piggyback off of what Todd said is, you know, Mick is absolutely advocating for student athletes now. And I don't want to say he wasn't in the summertime, but I think now with having more data that he can use as fuel, that he can safely kind of go to the powers that be and say, look, 35 other states are playing football. It hasn't been awful. I mean, you can't live your life in fear every single day about everything. You know, you have to take some calculated risks here and there. And I think with him looking at the data from all these other sports, you know, he's comfortable going out and really kind of pushing for some answers to be able to share with people. Because I can only imagine the amount of pressure that he's been getting from coaches, from other administrators, from parents, from student athletes. I don't envy his job at all, you know, and I think really it comes down to the powers at the top, Governor Inslee and others that are really kind of guiding the final decisions. I mean, at the end of the day, if Governor Inslee were to come back and say, all right, let's go, what would happen? We're going to play as soon as possible. And other states have done that. Unfortunately, for people that live in the state of Washington, Governor Inslee is the one that kind of has, you know, the final say on a lot of things. And he is really being hesitant to let sports go. I wish that weren't the case. I hope that changes in the near future. But I agree with you, Todd, and the fact that, you know, Mick is really beginning to advocate for these kids because he now has a lot more information at his disposal to kind of share.
No question. And just to get a little bit of what Mick said in that Q&A, this is the quote that sticks with me the most. And this is what he essentially said the same thing at the outset of the pandemic, which we talked about on this podcast. He said, "Our job is to advocate and make things happen. So that's what we're working on. We started off battling the pandemic with theories. We're 8 months into this thing. We have a lot of data and research now. So let's use that for decision-making rather than our fear or theories. We're going to err on the side of caution because health and safety is first. But if we have the data, the examples, and research that supports moving this thing along, then let's move it forward." And something that we've talked about, you know, coaches have started to really, really reach a breaking point with the social and emotional aspects of their players and the teenagers' lives that are not being addressed in the state's response. That's the general feeling among coaches, and we're going to start to see that in the coming weeks. There are coaches associations in Oregon, Washington, and California, all states that have had extremely restrictive responses to the coronavirus. Those states' coaches associations are passing along, they're organizing, they're meeting within states, and they're going to be, they're asking the question now, how do we best advocate for and let our elected officials know this side of things? You know, Mick said, "Hey, I've taken, you know, several calls about student suicides in the past few weeks. And would that have happened without a pandemic? I don't know. But we need to address that our kids are sitting at home right now, a lot of them, and not within the structure, not even, you know, some not even really allowed to be in the structure of a high school setting." So I would keep a close eye on the state coaches associations and some of the organizing that's going on right now, because I know that, you know, the second that Student Athletes of Washington group started advocating, one of the groups they took aim at was the WIAA. And they said, "Look, we want to play football." And as soon as the WIAA saw them pick up steam and they gained over 30,000 signatures, the WIAA joined in lockstep with them and said, "Yes, thank you. Now these state officials are paying attention because of you guys." And maybe this coach association coalition is going to do the same thing. What we do know is in the early October, the state governor's office had released its long-awaited guidelines that was basically, it was going to reassess everything based on the current trends. It had been a couple months since it had done so. They're going to do that again in early December. Is that enough? Is it going to be enough if they, you know, flip the light switch on to save a season if it's not looking good? I don't know. Probably not. We just don't know yet. But what we do know is there are more and more people that are, you know, saying some of the things that have been said on this podcast in recent months, saying, you know, there's a serious disconnect between, you know, this state's response and the health and well-being, mental and emotional well-being of high school student athletes in this state. So I think that's, you know, kind of the million-dollar question right now is there going to be another rollback? We saw in Oregon a couple weeks ago, there was, you know, a slight rollback at the state level. Obviously, that has to go down. You know, the WIAA isn't they're not the high school sports czar. They can't just wave their wand and have everything go on. This goes down to, you know, regions and districts and superintendents making local decisions. A lot of those the people in those positions have been hamstrung at this point. So perhaps that'll change. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, and kudos to the SAW group. I mean, they sort of got the ball rolling. You know, this is why you this is why you stand up for what you believe in. This is why you march down to Olympia and get your voice heard. You never know. Again, we talked about this. It might not have saved their fall football season, but it could have solidified things in 2021. You never know what pressure is going to do to politicians, to civic leaders. But it sounds like it has. It's worked. And the next step, it sounds like it's from this coaches association to really kind of shed light on something that you just talked about, that we've talked about, Andy, numerous times, is the mental health side of this. This is something that risk management doesn't cover. This is something that's a crucial piece that seems to sort of get put on the back burner. And it's very, very critical for this coaches association to kind of shed more light on that and direct impact, personal impact on their athletes at the state level, saying, hey, these things are happening. Bad things are happening. And you know, again, every little bit of pressure from all different corners, all different facets of high school sports, from parents for their students, not just their student athletes, I think should and will help. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, we still need to see that rollback. That'll kind of loosen some things and kind of expedite the process and maybe seeing sports sometime, you know, starting up here in 2021.
A couple important dates just to hammer down. Friday, November 27th is going to be the first update that comes from the WIAA regarding that season 2 basketball wrestling that starts, practices start December or are scheduled to start December 28th. That's going to be the first update where WI staff basically sends schools a list showing what percentage of schools within a sport are eligible, and you know, sports that don't meet that 50% threshold will be told the season that they would be moved to. Regions are going to have the option of opting to move if they so choose. You know, there's been talk of classifications potentially combining. Basically, I think the WI is letting the regions do have a good deal of flexibility when it comes to this, just to make sure that, you know, hey, if we don't hit a specific number, maybe if we combine classifications for some of these higher risk sports, we could. So if you head to scorebooklive.com/Washington, that's where you're going to find, you know, like I said, the story that outlines the framework and explains everything that's going on that we've been talking about in this podcast. It's got four key important dates to watch, starting with November 27th, and links to the state's most up-to-date county numbers, the process the WI is using for approaching the season, and full return-to-play guidelines. That being said, we talk about the state of Washington on this podcast. SB Live is in many more states than Washington. One of the things that's gotten off the ground during this pandemic is a national football ranking that publishes every week, every Sunday, I believe. That's the SB Live Power Top 25. The very guy who is in charge of putting that together, who's developed a network of contacts and keeps a really close tabs on the state of high school football on a week-to-week basis throughout this pandemic. His name is Connor Morissette. He's an LA-based reporter for SB Live, Scorebook Live, California. Connor joins us in the next segment to give an in-depth look at how these rankings came to be, how he updates them on a weekly basis, and where you can find them, and just what it's been like during the COVID era with, you know, teams dropping out here and there, and how that's impacted competition, how that's impacted play across the country as he's monitored that. So we're going to take a quick break. Dan, Todd, appreciate you guys joining as always. We will be back, the three of us, next week, but stick with us. When we come back, I sit down with SB Live's Connor Morissette. This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com.
Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are.
Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. In the last segment, we tried to paint a clear picture about how and when high school sports are going to return in Washington. Both questions we've been trying to answer now going on 8 months here. But our next guest has looked really closely, not just at the states that are not playing, but the around 35 states that are playing football at the high school level. And that's SB Live reporter Connor Morissette. He's based in Southern California. Connor, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Andy. Thank you for having me. Hopefully we can get some of those answers that you were talking about off the top answered soon, because like you, it's tough waiting for when sports will come back.
No question. California in a pretty similar situation right now as Washington is, though, you know, a start date for practices comes a little sooner. But throughout this pandemic, one of the things that you've been doing and really taken a hold of as SB Live has really kind of spearheaded a national expansion into several more states is developing a national football ranking. Now, it's one thing to do that in a normal year and to really tackle some of the challenges that it takes to keep tabs on the top football teams across the country, across 50 states. But you've had to do this during a pandemic when not every state's playing, teams are shut down, maybe on a week-to-week basis. So first off, walk us through a little bit what exactly your national rankings are, how they are different from, you know, maybe some other national rankings out there. And, you know, from what I understand, they're called the SB Live Power 25. Is that right?
Yes, the SB Live Power 25. 35 states across the country are playing football this fall. So we're looking at teams from those states. And every week it'll come out around Sunday at noon. And so my Saturday to Sunday morning, and not the whole time, but within that window, I'm looking at results from across the country and putting them in. So IMG Academy, the great team out of Florida that I'm sure you've heard of, known as a great school for high school sports, they're number one. They've been number one all year. I think if all 50 states were playing, they would still probably be number one. If California was playing right now, then they'd have some teams in the top five, but IMG clearly the best this year. And it's the challenge this year is some states might be playing, but if you look at Florida, there were all different sorts of start dates, and there are a lot of good teams down there, and the start dates differed based on geography and if you were a public school or a private school. So keeping track of all that was tough, but it's been nice to reach out to journalists down there and coaches and get some answers. And we've been going strong with these rankings. A lot of teams from Texas are in there, and the Texas season's all mixed up too. It's going to go into January for some of those state champions. So it looks like we'll probably have this Power 25 going for a while, because it's not the usual just fall and it ends right before the new year for usual football season. So it's certainly different, but it's also been a lot of fun too. So I'm enjoying it.
And just to be clear, so listeners know, these are not, you know, these are not computer rankings, composite rankings, or anything like that. These are subjective expert rankings that you're putting together based on, you know, a various degree of research. Is that right?
Yep, I'm the final say with all these. So it's fun having that power, but it's not just me making these calls. I am in touch with a lot of journalists who have really helped me across these states, and then coaches as well. But the main piece that I've found to be the most helpful is reaching out to people who are in the trenches in some of these big states. So I've reached out to people in Texas, Florida, and other states as well, who have really helped given me a clear picture of what the rundown looks like in the state. So here's my Florida top five, here's why. So I get that info. And then it'll be up to me to say, okay, here's the Texas top five, the Florida top five. If I make that a 10, who goes where? So it's a little bit tricky in that regard, but as games go, it's getting easier. One thing that has been challenging in a normal year, you're getting a ton of these teams playing each other and traveling and doing these big trips, and you'll see top teams play each other. This year, you get some of that, but not even close to what we would get in a usual year.
How do you factor in the COVID impact? We've seen at the professional level, you know, on a week-to-week basis, teams might, you know, schedules might be impacted by COVID flare-ups. That obviously tracks all the way down to the high school level. But, you know, for listeners to this podcast in Washington and, you know, honestly, myself, how has COVID impacted your rankings on a week-to-week basis? And how do you factor that into, you know, how you decide where teams fall?
So there's a reason every team is in that 25. And if they do have a COVID stop, then what I've done is, unless some other team is clearly playing their way in, I've kept that team in because I don't want to penalize them for not playing due to this crazy circumstance that no one ended up seeing coming. So, for example, there's a team in Texas called Allen, and they have a lot of great players. I believe they're 19 or 20 this week, and they had a bye the week before, but the previous 2 weeks before that, they couldn't play because they had COVID within the program. I don't know to what extent, but COVID-19 couldn't play. So they've been in the rankings. They've had some games canceled, but there was a reason they were there in the first place, and so we're keeping them around. We haven't penalized anyone for having to miss a game because of COVID, and this might not be 100% true, but from my experience, I haven't seen any big-time players have to miss a game because of COVID-19 so far, so that's good. It's a lot of – you might get one positive on a team, and you know maybe it'll be a good player. I haven't seen that. And then if a school has an outbreak, that could get a game canceled. If your opponent has an outbreak, that could get a game canceled. So that's why a lot of this stuff is happening. It's not like, oh, this team has 10 kids sick, they're not going to play for a couple weeks. It's other variables that go into it.
You know, we just this week learned in Washington that the state association, the WIA, kind of put out a framework for how sports will return in that late December into 2021. And one of the ways under the governor's guidance that sports are going to return, entire seasons are going to return, is sports have to have a 50% eligibility rate for schools in a specific sport, in a specific classification, in order to have a season. So, you know, 4 weeks out of the season, like they're going to start assessing like, okay, do we meet the 50% threshold based on, and they're assessing things based on, you know, percentage positive tests and positive cases per 100,000. And so, you know, in these high density areas, like overall across the state, do these teams meet, do we have enough teams to play on a week to week basis across the country? How are you seeing, how much of an impact has COVID had across the board as you look at, you know, the top tier of these high schools on a week-to-week basis?
Well, what I'm seeing, and I think you've seen some of this in Idaho as well, Andy, there's two trains of thought. The first is we're going to play. We know we might get some games canceled. If that happens, we have protocols. We'll follow the protocols. But barring something crazy and unforeseen, we're going to keep playing even if we have to take a week off here and there. And I think that's what the vast majority of teams in the Power 25 or teams from states in the Power 25 are doing. And then there's the other side of things where it's like, let's not play at all until stuff gets better. So that's what I'm seeing. And all 35 states that are playing right now are taking that approach, it's looking like. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I think it's working, I think it's not working, but no seasons have been totally derailed, which is good. I mean, I cover Arkansas now for our company a little bit, and it seems like cases are going down and more teams are playing, but for like 5 weeks in a row, we were getting 5, 6, 7 games canceled due to COVID-19. So it's definitely out there, it's definitely happening, but a lot of the states where football is being played right now, they're saying, we know the risk, we're going to manage it. If you don't want to take the risk, you don't have to by any means. If you're an individual player, you can sit it out, but we're going to try to play because it's what these kids want to do. It's what our communities want. And, you know, without trying to make a big political statement, I think it is working. Now, maybe years down the line, we see, oh, if you had COVID, there are some complications and maybe they'll regret the decision. But if you're a high school senior, I think pretty much 99.9% of healthy high school seniors will want to play right now. So you do feel bad for the kids in Washington. You do feel bad for the kids in California when you're seeing 35 states play. And don't want to say it's going off without a hitch because there are hitches. But in the grand scheme of things, from a guy who's been monitoring it all year, it is working.
in those states that are not playing, a lot of them have postponed their season. In Washington here, the season practices start, are scheduled to start at least in February with a March-April season. How is that going to factor in? Are you going to continue rankings throughout into 2021? And have you figured all of that out?
Our boss, Ben, who you know, Andy, but for people who don't know, our boss's name is Ben. We're trying to figure that out. We are definitely going to keep rankings going, but there's going to be a cutoff if you played in the fall. Like, we're not going to pigeonhole teams that play in the spring into the fall rankings. I don't think that makes any sense. So we are going to have separate spring ones, but it's tricky because Texas, like I said, their big schools aren't going to finish until January, when those schools who are playing in the spring, even though it's technically the winter, will have already kicked off. So there's definitely going to be some crossover. What we're trying to do right now is figure out, okay, when do we end these fall rankings? And it's tough because Texas, which has so many teams in the Power 25, is going to continue on. So we're trying to figure that out. And then when would we start that spring 25? And it probably won't be a 25 because California is going to be well represented. Maryland will be well represented. The Washington, D.C. area will be well represented. I'm sure we'll see a team from Washington or two in there. But it's just not the same because there's Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, all these big time high school football states playing now. So we might drop the number. And the Power 25 is a very catchy name. So the Power 15 or Power 10, I don't like that sound, but it might come to that.
Hey, now we've been doing the Power 10 in Idaho every week. So
I'd prefer a top 10. I think that's catchy and that works, but that's the generic one. So
yeah,
everyone has that.
I hear you. So we're a Washington podcast. I cover the state of Washington. So I'm going to nail you down here. I'm thinking, you know, just off the top of my head, looking at this upcoming season, some of the top teams, you know, O'Day is supposed to be terrific as usual. They're just a juggernaut out of the Seattle area. Kennedy Catholic as well, having the number one pro style quarterback in the country, Sam Huard, as well as, you know, several Pac-12 receivers that he's played with now for going into his fourth year. If there was a small school ranking, I would put 2A powerhouse Tumwater up against any small school in the country. And then, of course, there's Eastside Catholic that's been, you know, a power and in top 25 rankings and national rankings pretty much year in and year out. But were there, in your research for this, any Washington teams that did jump out to you?
Before Washington pushed football back, I looked at some rankings from the last 5 years and looked at every team that finished the football season ranked, and Eastside Catholic was one of those teams from, forget exactly what year it was, but they appeared once. So they were on my radar, but I would certainly ask you guys about what that will look like. And the biggest challenge for these spring rankings is going to be this, and I'm really dreading it. Who's playing? You have a top player on 247sports.com. He has all these offers. He's already signed to play. Is he going to play high school football? That's what's going to be the challenge, because in the fall right now, we've had a couple opt-outs, but even one big-time opt-out, I think from Florida or Georgia, ended up saying, okay, you know what, actually, I'm not going to opt out. I'm going to play. So it's different. And if you play in the spring, you're so close to that scholarship, you might even graduate in December and then go enroll at a school. So I need to, and I'll ask you for Washington when the time comes, who's playing, who's not. I know you're right. You have that great pro style quarterback, Sam Huard, is his name? I don't want to mispronounce it.
Yeah,
if he plays, obviously they're going to be in the discussion. If not, it's a little different. So that is something that will probably take a lot of time to figure out. Like I said, I'm dreading it a little bit because in a normal year, it would be so much easier. This team has these players, they're playing. It's not a question. This year, it's a question, and that stinks.
Well, that's when you can call up your good pal Todd Millis or, yeah. or myself. Yeah, I know. We've surprisingly, most of the state's top players have announced their intent to play.
Which I think is because college football is saying in a normal year would encourage you to graduate early and come, but this year it doesn't make any sense with COVID and all the scholarships. So I think we will see a lot of kids end up playing, but mm-hmm. the best of the best, it seemed like a lot of them are, especially in California, are set on just, I don't want to get hurt. I'm just going to go to my school and just get in the swing of things.
Certainly. So it's the SB Live Power 25. Where can people find these rankings? You say they come out every Sunday.
Yep, Sunday at noon. And we've been, even though California doesn't play, We've been posting them on our scorebooklive.com/California site. Pretty soon we're going to have a national website for Scorebook Live. We're trending in that direction, but with everything going on, that is on the back burner a little bit, but that will be soon. And then you'll find all our national stuff there. But for now it's on the scorebooklive.com/California site. And we pull off the rankings. Like if we have an Alabama site, so there'll be a little note about the Alabama teams and stuff. So you can find it on all of our sites at Scorebook Live, but the California one is where the hub is.
Yeah, and our main accounts across social media, SB Live Sports on Twitter and Instagram, they've been, you know, doing a good job of sharing those rankings on a week-to-week basis, as well as the individual state sites. So, again, he's Connor Morissette, @C_Morissette on Twitter. Like he said, scorebooklive.com/California is where you're going to find his bylines. Also hosts the Scorebook Live California podcast. Connor, anything else to promote?
That's about it. We have a podcast in California, but I haven't really done too many of them lately. So hopefully when sports pick up, we'll get that back into the swing of things. I love coming on these. So anytime you need me to come on, I enjoy doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We'll hope to have you back. And again, appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
You bet.
Brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. You can find our work at scorebooklive.com/Washington. Always a big thanks to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away, written by Carl Johnson, James Schroeder, and my dad, Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. Talk to you next week.